Please turn with me this morning to Luke chapter 2 and verse 11. Luke chapter 2 and verse 11. For unto you is born this day. Heavenly Father, we bow in your presence. May your word be our rule, your spirit our teacher, and your greater glory our supreme concern, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. For all that we live in an increasingly secular nation, Christmas retains its popularity. The only difference, of course, is what a secular Christmas really looks like. We have Christmas trees and Christmas presents and the Christmas turkey and Christmas music, but we have no Christ. We might wonder, what's the point of celebrating a Christian festival if there's no Christ to go along with it? Where's the good news of Christmas for us if there's no announcement of the birth of Christ? Well, the angels in Luke chapter 2, together with the shepherds, clearly thought different. What brought them joy was the birth of Christ. We read that they rejoiced with exceeding joy. Why? Because they got the presents they wanted under the tree on Christmas morning? No. But because the Christ child had been born. A Savior who is Christ the Lord. In verse 11, the angels announced to the shepherd, "For unto you is born." Here is the good news of the gospel for us all this morning. Not just that the Christ has been born, but that he has been born to you. He's been born to us. The emphasis we want to highlight in verse 11 are the words, "Unto you." This is the good news of a Christian Christmas, which is for all people. The you who has been to the us who have been born a Savior too, who is Christ the Lord. Sorry for my bad grammar. Whoever we are today, there's good news for us in the words of the gospel. Unto you is born this day. What we want to do today is to examine the kinds of people for whom the birth of Jesus is good news. The kind of people who in the birth of the Christ child and through the birth of the Christ child experience the grace God gives in light, in giving light from the darkness and life from the dead. As we pass through Luke Acts, let me highlight six kinds of people for whom this is good news. The tormented, the enemy, the prodigal, the sinner, the outsider, and the hard man. I'm sure we can identify with at least one person from each of these groups. The message of the Christmas Christian gospel is this: for unto you is born. First of all, this is good news to the tormented. To the tormented. The man who was called Legion cuts one of the most pathetic figures in the Bible. Who knows what he was like before he was possessed by evil spirits sent from hell? He may have been a family man with a wife and children. He may have been the man next door with a neat lawn, a good job, a nice house. But what happened to him was tragic. Having been possessed by these evil spirits, we read in Luke chapter 8, verse 26, he became a beast. A beast. He tore his clothes. He cut himself with sharp stones. He lived dangerously. He lived in a graveyard. He had been completely dehumanized, and he lived in mental torment, Every day for him was the descent into Dante's inferno of hell. Everyone was afraid to go near him. They chained him up. They treated him like a dog. How pathetically tragic. The best news that people of his region could have heard was that Legion had killed himself. Because at least he'd no longer be their problem. And for him, he would have felt it was better to be dead. I wonder whether that's why he lived in the graveyard. Because he really rather envied the dead. Today we'd lock him up in a mental asylum, we'd fill him with tranquilizers. Although given that it was not a mental illness that he was suffering from, but demonic oppression, I'm not sure our drugs would have stopped him from wreaking havoc. Nothing, no one could get through to this man called Legion. Until he met with Jesus. With words of such love and power of grace, Jesus expelled these evil spirits who were destroying this man. Jesus sent them into a herd of pigs who rushed to their deaths. And his friends now found the man who'd been called Legion. He was seated at Jesus' feet. He was dressed. He was in his right mind. He was ready to go back to his family and to reintegrate into normal society. This man, for whom every day had been a living hell, now had meaning, joy, and love in his life. And one can almost hear over this amazing story in Luke chapter 8, the amazing story of Legion's miraculous healing, the angel calling out over Legion, "Legion, he is born unto you. He is born unto you." Although he didn't know it at the time, the birth of Jesus was good news for this tormented man. Perhaps today we're tormented. Tormented by the guilt of yesterday, by the problems of today, by the fear of tomorrow. These are things that make every day for us a living descent into Dante's inferno. Perhaps no one around you knows them. Only you know them. But they leave such a scar upon our psyches that as we look at ourselves in a mirror, we're ashamed of who we are and who we become. Remember Legion and what Jesus did for him. And what Jesus did for Legion, he can do for us. This Christmas, remember, the good news of the gospel announced by the angel is for us. He is born unto you. Good news for the tormented. Good news also for the enemy. Good news for the enemy. At no stage in the history of the church has it been under such threat as it was under the persecuting terror of Saul of Tarsus. Driven by religious zeal and hatred, Saul made it his mission in life to destroy the Christian church. Religion can drive a man absolutely mad, and this man, Saul of Tarsus, was a madman, the spearhead of Judaism's hatred of Jesus Christ and his followers. He persecuted Christians, he imprisoned Christians, he exiled and he murdered Christians. He was an evil, evil man, an enemy of the Christian church. He was an enemy of the church because he was an enemy of the gospel of grace that the Christians in that church preached. Saul of Tarsus had been brought up to be a strict follower of the traditions of the rabbis and the legalism of a religion which taught that it was one's good works and one's religious performance which earned salvation. He hated the idea that a man or a woman could be saved purely on account of their faith. To be told that salvation is all of grace and none of works made him physically sick, drove him mad. But one day as he was making his way to Damascus to persecute more Christians, he was stopped in his tracks by the risen Lord Jesus Christ. A great light flashed in the sky, and Jesus appeared to him. And Jesus said to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" In a flash, Saul knew he had been wrong, and that the Christ he had treated as an enemy was the Christ who loved him and given himself for him. Saul knew that the gospel of salvation by grace alone, in Christ alone, through faith alone, was true, and that he'd been living a lie his whole life. In that instant, it was almost as if Saul heard the voice of the angel speaking into his heart. "Saul of Tarsus, he is born unto you." You know, the most violent enemies of the gospel of Christ's grace aren't to be found in today's pubs and nightclubs. They're not. They're found in today's churches, mosques, and temples. Driven mad by religious zeal and their own inner emptiness, enemies of Christ wreak havoc. Perhaps the thought that a person is justified by God on the basis of their faith in Christ and not works for Christ, perhaps that makes us angry. But in those quiet moments of reflection, when our conscience convicts us of just how wrong we are and how no matter how hard we try, we'll never reach God's standard, we hear the voice of the angel in Luke chapter 2 saying, "Stop trying. Stop being an enemy. He is born unto you." In those moments, we're challenged to stop pretending and start believing in Christ instead. The third kind of person for whom this is good news is the prodigal. The prodigal. Now, you'll know the parable of the prodigal son. It's probably the most famous story in the Bible. This young man had everything going for him, but he made a mess of life. Although he was dearly loved by his father, he abandoned home and traveled to a far-off country where he wasted his inheritance on wild living. His money made him lots of friends, but when his money ran out, they abandoned him, just as he had abandoned his father. This young man had everything, but now he had nothing. He was lost. He was far away from home. He ended up feeding pigs. He was so hungry that he longed to eat the husks. Even the pigs refused to eat. There he is, the prodigal son. He's in the muck of a pigsty. That dearly loved young man, so blessed to have had a stable and loving home. There he is now. He is feeding pigs, and he's covered in dirty, smelly pig waste. Whereas before he'd listened to the sound of laughter and love at home, all he could now hear was the snorting of the pigs. But then he remembered how wrong he had been, all he'd given up. He realized just how much his father really loved him, and he thought to himself, "I'll go home now." Prodigal changed his mind. He was given a second chance. The prodigal was given a chance to reverse the failure that he had made of his life. One could almost hear the voice of an angel flying over that pigsty, saying to that prodigal, eating the husks that even the pigs wouldn't touch, saying to him, "Prodigal son, he is born unto you. He is born unto you." Perhaps this is where we are today, or where we're directing our lives toward today. Perhaps, as we look at our lives, we see ourselves heading the way the prodigal was headed, making a mess of it all. We might or might not have the wealth and reputation, but we know that underneath it, we're prodigals and we're sitting with the pigs. We turned our backs on the faith our parents taught us, and the faith they showed us. We've turned our backs on the Jesus who from our youth we've known loves us. The good news of the gospel is, by faith we have a second chance. that Jesus still loves us, though we do not love him anymore. That by trusting in him, he can take us from the pigs and he can take us home. For us, the good news of the gospel this Christmas time is this. He is born unto you. The fourth category of person for whom the birth of Christ is good news is the sinner. He is born to the sinner. In Luke 8:36 onward, we learn of a rather pathetic figure. She's called a woman of the city. That's code at the time of writing for being a prostitute. Over the course of her life, she'd slept with hundreds of men. Broken and abused, her life was a shell. Her self-worth had been shattered by the vocation she'd been forced into. They all knew her. Perhaps some of the Pharisees who were present that day condemning her had, though they called her a sinful woman, had previously been her customers. Then, of course, in a male-dominated society like first century Judea, they viewed themselves as innocent. It was always the woman who took the blame, as it is in backward societies today. Nevertheless, gender issues put to one side, this woman of the city, this prostitute, knew that she was a sinner far away from God. Her lifestyle disgusted her, and yet like a caged bird, she could not break free. No one took her seriously. To them, she was an object of pleasure, not a person precious to God, made in his image and dearly loved. Perhaps she hated herself for what she'd become and she was filled with shame. And when she met with Jesus, she couldn't stop crying. She wept over his feet and she dried his feet with her hair. And then she anointed his feet with oil taken from an alabaster jar. Such expensive perfume. How many hundreds of men had she slept with to afford perfume like this? And yet she gave it all to Jesus. She was so ashamed of herself. She was so broken on the inside. Out of everyone present that day, she alone knew how much sin destroys a person's humanity. And yet to her, Jesus said, this ashamed woman, he said, your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. She wasn't there when the angels appeared to the shepherds in Luke 2. She may have wished she was, but she wasn't. But over this unnamed woman, and to this unnamed woman, the angel says, woman, he is born unto you. The Christ child born of Mary and laid in the manger was born for people just like her who are disgusted with themselves and before God know that they're sinners. Now, I don't guess any of us here have been trafficked, forced to sell ourselves like this woman had been. But there are many of us here who know that we're sinners, whose lifestyle disgusts us. And yet, like a caged bird, we cannot break free. The good news of the Christmas gospel, the gospel of the Jesus born for us in Bethlehem and crucified for us outside Jerusalem, is that he waits to say over us, your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Faith in him. See, that's all that's required today. And over this sinful woman and over all who know ourselves to be sinners, the Christmas angel says, he is born to you. The fifth category of person for whom the birth of Christ is good news is the outsider. The outsider. Nobody likes a leper. It was a hard and fast rule in the Israel of the day that lepers were to be avoided lest you caught their contagion. Those who had contracted leprosy were forced from their homes and they had to live in leper colonies. They were very much on the outside of society.
They weren't allowed to go anywhere near a place of worship. They weren't allowed to go shopping in a marketplace. They weren't even allowed to socialize with normal people. They were ritually unclean. Nobody went near lepers. Nobody likes lepers. Make no mistake, these were men and women who were very much on the outside of society, as often they still are today. And so when in Luke chapter 5, Jesus encountered a leper, he meets a man who means less than nothing to everybody. He's no one's friend. Who does he think he is? Expecting this young Jewish rabbi to listen to him, or even give him the time of day. But Jesus didn't treat this leper like everyone else did. Jesus touched him. I think this is one of the most powerful phrases in the Bible. Jesus reached out and touched him. Jesus was the first man to have touched this leper since he started displaying the symptoms of this horrific disease. We must never underestimate, and for us, especially as Scottish males, this is a really important thing to say. We must never underestimate the power of touch in communicating genuine concern and a shared humanity. This man may be on the outside as far as everyone else is concerned, but by that touch, he's not outside to Jesus. And then with a word of power, Jesus does the most unexpected thing. He says to the leper, "Be clean." By doing so, not only is he removing this man's leprosy, he's given the man his life back. He can now go from the outside of society back to the inside, back to his home, back to his job, back to his family. The leper wasn't present that day when the shepherds announced the birth of Jesus. But over this leper, the angel could easily have said, "Leprous outsider whom no one will touch, he is born unto you." The Christ child born of the Blessed Virgin is for people just like him. Those on the margins and fringes of society, the outsiders. Now again, none of us, to my knowledge, have leprosy or any such disease from which everybody else recoils. And yet we may feel like outsiders. Perhaps today, listen to me everyone, perhaps today we may feel that we don't fit in with the norms of society. Maybe it's nothing external about us, we just feel different. We feel that no one likes us because, well, we're not like them. Perhaps it's our gender, our confusion about gender. Perhaps it's our appearance. Perhaps it's our intellect or lack of. Perhaps it's the things we just like to do. Whatever makes us feel different, we don't belong anywhere. Our society is filled with outsiders. We most definitely feel on the outside. Perhaps today you feel on the outside of the church. The good news of the Christmas gospel is that Jesus says, you may be on the outside of society because of your gender, because of the clothes you like to wear or the way you like to put your makeup on or whatever. But you're precious to me. And I came for people just like you. And so like the leper, we come to him and we too hear the words of the Christian Christmas angel saying over us, he is born to you. By faith, outsider, come on the inside. And then lastly, this Christmas message is good news to the hard man, the tough guy. In the world of Paul's day, there were fewer nastier and tougher men than jailers. Most were ex-soldiers who, having retired from active duty, used their considerable strength to subdue prisoners. The Roman colony of Philippi was a big city, about the size of Aberdeen, and its jails would have been filled with all kinds of criminals. To oversee the prison in Philippi, you would have had to be a seriously tough guy. And not only did you need the strength to keep criminals under control, you needed to fulfill the role of torturer. If a confession was required by the city officials, it was your job to obtain it by any means necessary. Whether the guy was guilty or whether he was innocent, you got him to confess through the way you tortured him. Jailers were hardened men for whom inflicting pain was their daily business. They thought nothing of it. They were today's psychopaths. Only society paid them for their services. The Philippian jailer in Acts chapter 16 was a tough guy. He did what was commanded by the city authorities. He was a seriously hard man. You don't want to meet this guy in a dark alley. But what was he like on the inside? He was a family man. And presumably his wife and his children saw a rather more tender side. Perhaps like all the other hard men in our society, and there are loads, they projected their own inner inadequacies and insecurities in public displays of strength and violence to those who are vulnerable. That's the way it always is with tough guys. Always. Lions on the outside, pussycats on the inside. So very out of control on the inside. So very inadequate and insecure. And so I play the control game with everyone else on the outside. But one fateful night, everything changed for this Philippian jailer. Having been ordered to secure two Christians called Paul and Silas in custody and having placed them in the deepest, darkest dungeon with stocks around their feet, there was an earthquake and the jail and the jailer, when he saw that all the doors in the jail were open and the chains had been broken, he knew that if even one prisoner escaped from his jail, his life was forfeit. And so he, like the ground on which he was standing, began to shake. Then it all came out. It always does with a tough guy. Then it all came out. All his insecurities and all his inadequacies, all his inner fears and all his inner doubts. This man was terrified. That's what happens always with hard men, you see. There always comes a time in their lives, maybe they've had too much to drink one night, and their facade of strength that they've worked so hard to project dissolves. And for the first ever time, everyone sees how weak they really are. This tough guy is the most pathetic of all the people we've actually looked at this morning. And he falls down and he shows everyone his true self. He is really so very insecure and so very inadequate. But if he'd been there to hear the Christmas angel in Luke chapter 2, how he would have rejoiced in the good news. Christ is born unto you. Not the you pretend to be on the outside. But the real you, the insecure and inadequate you. We all know hard men here. People who show no weakness and vulnerability. They project an image of strength. They project this image of I have it all together. We must never let that image fool us, because that's all it is. It's an image. It's not the reality. On the inside, these hard men are more broken and more inadequate than anyone else. The reason they project such strength on the outside is because of how inadequate they are on the inside. The church is full of hard men who don't like vulnerability and project and work hard at projecting toughness on the outside. But on the inside, trembling wrecks. Can't tell you how many times I preached over the years, more in Highland congregations, where the men wouldn't become members because they were tough guys. But on the inside, we all knew they were hiding their own inadequacies and insecurities, and they were just plain scared. The gospel of Jesus Christ is good news for the hard man, because it tells us you don't need to pretend anymore. God knows who you are in the inside, and it's to the inside you, the angel says. It's okay to be really you, to be insecure and inadequate, because Christ is born to you. God's not impressed by our hard man images. He knows who we really are, and he sent his son for people just like us. So, to the tormented, to the enemy, to the prodigal, to the sinner, to the outsider, to the hard man, the child of the Blessed Virgin Mary and laid in the manger was born to them. He was born to us. This is the good news of the Christian gospel. Jesus Christ and his gospel grace is its beating heart and transforms our despair into delight and our gloom into joy. Perhaps we can identify this morning, can we not, with at least one category of person for whom the Christmas gospel is good news. Perhaps we can hear the voice of the angel saying to us, Christ is born to you. Now all we must do is place our faith in him, to ask him to be our Christ, our King, our Savior. And then whoever we are, whatever we've done, whatever we pretended to be, he'll give us new hearts. He'll make us new people, because that ultimately and surely is the greatest of all Christmas promises. Amen.